Hello, hello. Welcome everybody to the Yogi Show. We are very excited, very excited. We have the yoga couple in the house, Matt and Ash. How are you doing?
Woot woot.
Oh, we got the woot woots.
We're
in.
We're so excited to be back. Yeah, thanks for having us, Brian, Pedro. Good to see you both.
We love you guys. Yeah. So happy to be here.
Oh, thank you. Well, we appreciate y'all coming back on the show. You're the first guest that's coming back in season two. We're having it like a series. Like it's the comeback, the remix, the then again, whatever, you know, but you're the first. So whatever we decide to call it, you're number one. So thank you both for coming on. Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Honored.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we even started, you know, Matt was like, he was about to say, hey, so much has changed since the pandemic. And then he was about to go into it and Ash was like hitting him on the shoulder, you know, nonviolently, like, wait, save it for the podcast. Save it for the podcast. Yeah,
love taps right there.
It was just a love tap. It was just a love tap. And that's kind of, you know, that's why we asked you to come back on the show. So we could say, hey, you know, like a lot of things have changed and evolved like in the world. And obviously like within yourselves, within me, within Brian, we took a break from the show. We were like, yo, we need to take a break. Like life's too much right now. And then we recon back, you know, to ourselves, and then we can come back together, stronger together. So, Brian mentioned the TikTok. So can we start with the TikTok? Because I'm all about the TikTok too.
Yeah. I love your TikTok. It's like so funny. And then yet like you throw in like truth bombs on point. And I'm like, I'm learning from them. Like, I can't believe they were on the show before. I got to get them back. Like these TikToks are amazing. Tell us about it. Like, how did it start? Like, where's your inspiration? We want it all.
I became a TikToker. I just love it.
Ash
so
fell
much
in love head over heels with
so the here's the thing, you know, like I had this really like trippy epiphany about the internet and social media, so I'm gonna share that because why not. It's chakra related, so I'm gonna share this for anybody who is like tripping out on how we're moving into kind of a digital world and has resistance to that. Maybe this can maybe open you up to seeing it in a more positive light. So one of the things I really loved about getting on TikTok was that it was kind of this opportunity to break out of the mold of what social media had been, like being perfect and, you know, presenting this like life that is unattainable. You know, that's what we're all so annoyed about with things like Instagram. And you get on TikTok and then people are just like making videos like in their bedroom, no makeup on, in their bed, like just, you know, being raw and real and just honest, you know, authentic. And I really was attracted to that. And then I had this epiphany the other day because, you know, Facebook's talking about turning into a metaverse company and you're thinking about like the movie, like Ready Player One, like, are we going to have the VR goggles?
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, like, is this dystopic? Like what is going on? So I've been, you know, pondering that, is it healthy? Is it okay? Like, is there a way to, for this to be positive? And I had this really awesome revelation that it's just, I'm feeling good about. And that is this, is that our reality right now, it's, you know, it's all consciousness, right? So our physical reality, earth, us being these human bodies, that's like the root chakra, the sacral chakra, the solar plexus. And when we look at Hinduism and how creation was formed from a Hindu perspective, everything came from the elements, the tattvas. You got the five elements, earth, water, air, fire, ether. And as you go up the chakras, the elements are changing. So consciousness is just using the elements in different combinations to create, right? And when we get to the higher chakras, the sixth and the seventh chakra, that is the ether chakra. So air is like the throat and the heart area, right? And when we get up to six and seven, third eye and crown, it's the ether. So if consciousness was going to create a reality in the ether net, I think it's apropos and it makes sense that we'd be creating a reality or a dimension on top of the physical dimension of the root chakra in the ether. And we would have this like simulation reality that isn't less real. It's just through a different element. And so I'm like totally embracing this and being like, you know what? It's telepathy. We're reaching people in like instant, like beyond time, space, instant, all the way across the world, sharing hopefully positive messages. And I think we can really see it in a positive way and not be so freaked out about it. So anyways, TikTok's opened me up to this whole like.
And that's why we created a TikTok.
There we go. Yeah,
there that's like another, that's like a whole nother book right there.
Yeah. We have another book.
We created a TikTok to explore consciousness, interacting with people. That was just been a super funny recent realization we've been talking about a lot. But at the end of the day, like the simplest thing was, yeah, she fell in love with TikTok for sure. We love how it allowed us especially to explore, like, because we're pretty goofy people. That's why, like,
comedy,
we love,
right?
Your guys' comedy. Yeah. We're actually really like, we love it. We're like that too. And so like TikTok allowed us to get to show more of that about us. So like we get to do these funny skits and like we try to teach lessons by doing these skits because we're pretty goofy people too, you know. Like, so TikTok allowed us to show more videos. Of that.
Yes.
I love the goofy videos because when you do like a goofy video and it's fun, and then like another video that you have, like I see, like then it just like hits the truth and it's more serious. I'm just like, I feel like it hits hard, like harder for me. I'm just like, because I can relate to you, like you're funny in the other ones, and you still, even on the serious ones, you still have that humor. And then I'm just like more open to it. I'm like, oh, whoa, that was a truth bomb there. Sorry for cutting you off, Pedro.
No, it's all good because it's raw and real. It's just like the, you know, when we do the memes, like the memes are funny. And then like, there's this like hint of like, but oh shit, that actually happens. Like that's actually like real life. Like that's how I'm thinking about when this situation happens too. And so it's the same thing, but obviously on a meme. And you know, TikTok for me, it's kind of like, you know, Brian now just basically creates but like memes in real life, you know, and he's like, he's the picture, you know, him doing whatever.
Yep.
It makes it relatable, super relatable. And
you know, something,
go ahead.
Something too, real quick on that note, that is, I think we might have said this on the podcast, the first episode together, is I've always learned that when it comes to like teaching truth, that comedy is one of the best ways to teach truth, because if you don't make people laugh, the ego will kill you. It's time for the mentality. Yeah. It's like the joke. So a lot of comedians are actually really good at dropping truth, but they're making you laugh at your own ego in the process. And like, you guys nail that. That's why I love all of you guys' content for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Thank you. You know, Brian is now, evolution through the pandemic, right? We'll segue to that. Like Brian is now an official stand-up comedian. Like Brian is actually a stand-up
nice,
comedian.
Nice, bro.
No, yeah, totally. Dude, I saw that you actually had a show. I was like, I totally interacted with the video. I thought it was so funny. I was like, dude, he's going for it. Like I hope you do a tour. Like that's so cool.
I hope so. Awesome. I hope that happens. I mean, I did a stand-up comedy class. It was like a 6-week class. And then I've done like one open mic, you know, since. And it's just fun. Like, it's just like another aspect of getting up on stage and just kind of going with the flow. And like, I'm really into like hypnotherapy and hypnosis, and a comedian is really like a hypnotist. Like you got to go up there and get the people like in a trance, you know, they got to be in the zone, and you can't really like break that zone. And that's what I've been like studying about comedy. It's like, even if they don't say anything funny, like they're just them talking and being hypnotic, like you're just in it. And then they say something funny. So yeah, I love it. But like with the pandemic for you, like what happened? Like what did you do? Like what was there a shift? Like, yeah. How many rabbit holes did you go down?
Well, I think, you know, the last time we talked to you, I'm pretty sure we were living in a 12x12 hut hall A. So
so much has happened for us
like
then.
We've moved into a home, we've started our yoga school, we have a yoga school now,
yoga teacher training which is online because of all that, which we actually love in so many ways.
We've like totally embraced this online world and really shifted. We were hosting retreats and stuff, and we did a lot of in-person things, and our whole world has, and that's why I was like going off on this revelation around consciousness creating through the Ethernet, because obviously so many people are adjusting to that. And so we've had to restructure, obviously, like everybody, our whole business to be completely like online, Zoom classes, Zoom workshops, live Zoom yoga classes, yoga teacher training online. Matt took on, you know, he does full-time counseling now, and he has clients from all over the world. But the pandemic really helped us embrace that as a reality, that we can be successful fully online and do this amazing conscious work. And that, you know, people aren't going to be weirded out by doing a teacher training that's online anymore. Like back in the day when I first started getting into, you know, being a yoga teacher and having studios, doing an online yoga teacher training, that was like, ooh, that's not a real yoga.
You were a joke. You were a joke if you did online.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be like embarrassing, right? And so that's totally changed now. And
now we're literally like one of the first, we're even Yoga Alliance certified. Like even Yoga Alliance is like transition and they're letting people be certified as an online
for
school.
For good now. Yeah. Yep. So
there's no way that's going back. You can't, they're not taking that back. Cause they had, they were one of the people who were like, oh no, you can't do that, you know, for a long, long, long time. Yep. And then now it's like, well, wait a minute. Like there's no way it's ever reverting. It's just not, it's not going to happen. So
yeah.
Hey, like, and I'll tell you this. I've been doing yoga teacher trainings now for a decade. I've been in them year after year. I've been a trainer in them. I've had studios. I've been in this like industry for a while now. So I've got to see it evolve. And I'm saying this is legit, like this online way of doing it. Our program's 8 months. They can go as long as 12 months. And I'm not going to down the in-person teacher trainings, but it has opened up this way of going about study from home that's longer and more intimate and more integrated into your real life. Cause a lot of times you go to these yoga teacher trainings and you go on like a retreat, you know, off to Hawaii or Bali or Costa Rica, and then 3 weeks and you rush through it. And then you come home and you're like, whoa, that was like a dream, but now I'm back in my real life. Yeah. This is like a part of your everyday real life and it's integrated and it's just so different. Like it's so different and so accessible and people can make it work without having to quit their jobs or take a month off of their job to go to a yoga teacher training. It's like, this is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. Pros and cons to both, but I like the mentality that you have about it is really positive. And I agree with you on that. So I like, when I had to quit my job, I went to Bikram training for 9 weeks in California. Like, yeah, quit, like, peace, I'm out, you know, and I came back and got to get a different job, you know, because I came back to teach classes for like $53. Like, I'm not going to be eating very many good meals.
Dude, and listen to this, tripping out on chakras again. Is that like root chakra balanced way to go about like starting your yoga teacher training journey? Like, no, you know, like, it's like we can do this yoga teacher training thing in a very integrated, rooted way that like is healthy for our root chakra. We don't have to like upheaval our lives to like start this journey of study. And so it's so funny the way we used to do it like a decade ago. And now what it's evolved into is like, I feel like it's a lot healthier in a way.
Yeah. I would agree with that statement. Thank you for that perspective because I had a different one and I like the way that you presented it. And I like the way that that there's new opportunities the doors are just opening. And I had the same, and Brian and I we've embraced that, both of us, during the pandemic when it happened, you know, pivots and shifts and taking everything online. And then I've noticed a lot of teachers, like they were online for like, you know, 3 months or 6 months. And then they were like, bah, forget it. Like I'm going back to do the other stuff again. But I think you definitely need to have like a hybrid, at least a hybrid of both, of whatever it is that you're doing in life. Like if you don't have a digital presence, but you're building something, best of luck. Cause I don't know how you're going to sustain it.
Right. The world's heading this way. Also, I hope, like, I don't know. My chakra thing is really, I'm fired up about it, obviously, because I just
can't wait to
like
read the book.
It's just embracing, like, it's okay that consciousness is using the Ethernet as a medium for creation. Like, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a natural progression. And yeah, there's pros and cons, but it's like using it for good. And that's what I love about you all. It's like you're using it for good. You know, your TikToks are positive, it's helping people. And then you got your yoga teacher training, that's helping people too. And it's like, yeah, there is pros and there's cons, but it's like, you know, as like healers, as yoga teachers, as meditation guides, it's like they're the tools there and you can use them for like positive things. And I love that you pivot, you know, like it's like TikTok came and then you grew your TikTok and you made like funny videos and then went into the, you know, YTT. And it's like, you know, anybody out there, like as a creator or just yoga teacher, I love your consistency, you know, it's because like things change, you figure it out and then you're consistent with it. And then it just like slowly builds and you play with it and you see what works and doesn't work. And yeah, it's like, that's how the world's going right now. It's a lot of digital and it's like, we just got to pivot, be consistent and see what works. So I appreciate that. I admire
going on
that
TikTok
with you too.
Too. Yeah, thank you. And going on TikTok, it really changed our lives because, you know, we wrote the inner workbook two years ago, was it? And it was okay. Like, we were selling, you know, a few dozen books a month. And then now, you know, going on TikTok and just fully embracing this whole new app and building a new community there. It's like our TikTok is selling like thousands of books every month.
Amazing.
Insane.
We've hit like top seller lists like over and over and over again. And we're right there with like Eckhart Tolle and Deepak Chopra and Michael Singer. And our book is just like right there in those
100% because of TikTok.
And it's all because of TikTok. And it's like just, you know, being open to the possibility that it can get even better when we adapt and embrace and we get, you know, a new opportunity instead of resisting it and being like, this is just another thing I have to keep up on or another blah, 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 blah. It was like, well, let me just go all in and see what else is possible. And it totally changed our lives. Legitimately.
This is amazing.
I love that.
Yeah.
I really do.
We talk about all the time. Like Brian will text me like 6 a.m. like on a Tuesday, like, I fuck Instagram. Like, it'll just, that's all it will say is fuck Instagram. and I'm like, what happened now? He's like, anytime I post anything about like trying to maybe promote something in the toilet, like nothing happens. Like the algorithm is, you know, just total bomb. And so he's like, I'm posting on TikTok. So anytime he texts, and I'll text him back, like, bro, I feel that like Instagram sucks. It's just a highlight reel of things, you know? So, and you're inspiring me right now. I was making notes in my phone earlier about like content for next week's calendar. And now I'm just going to make sure that I'm on my TikTok game. And I always go in ebbs and flows on it. This is just another inspiring conversation as a reminder. Brian's told me for years, like, what are you doing? You know, so thank you.
Yeah. I love seeing your progression on it. Like, I remember when you first started on that. And I love seeing like when creators, like especially in like the healing and yoga and, you know, inspiration realm, you know, they embrace like another platform. And then they do like amazing on it. Like, you blew away like your follower count on TikTok. And then now like your book sales are awesome because you embraced a new platform. And I, you know, when trying to help my friends out or, you know, other creators, I'm like, you got to embrace this new technology. Like, it's going to help your business. And I just get a lot of pushback from it, you know, because like most people are like stuck in, well, Instagram worked like 10 years ago. Well, it's so hard to grow on Instagram. If you're just starting, like, you could post a video on TikTok and it could go viral like that. And it can change your whole life and business. So yeah, I love that you embrace that.
People think like the people on TikTok are just like teenagers and this and that. And that's like a total misconception. Like, it's not true at all. And there's this, yeah, it's like, oh, if I go on there, it's not real people my age or, you know, of maturity that are going to actually help build and sustain my community.
Or it's all just people dancing.
And it's not, yeah, it's totally
none
not.
Of that, none of those things were true.
No.
No. Yeah. This is so cool. I'm so happy for y'all. And Matt, Ash had mentioned that you're doing your counseling now all online, virtual. And were you doing that when we first conversed back in the day? Or no, I don't, not that I remember. I remember that you had that certification kind of thing, but I don't remember you're practicing.
I feel like maybe we were at the beginning stages of it, but I don't think I was doing it at the capacity I have been the last year or so. So man. Yes. However, I don't want to push it too hard because
no.
I have like a huge wait list right now, and I'm trying to develop a different option because it is like, I can't help everybody, you know, obviously, because it is so, it's my time. It's like one-on-one.
Sure.
And we're trying to scale back so we can work on the next book. But yes, ooh, it has been phenomenal. It's called the Hero's Journey program.
Of course,
and
so
this is maybe why it's familiar to you guys, because remember when, so our last podcast, we talked about the retreat, and we were telling you how the retreat is a hero's journey in physical form.
I remember the girl in the stake in the middle of the thing. She called her shit. I remember the conversation. Okay, go ahead. Let me cut you off.
There you go. Exactly. Okay. So what we did is we took, and this maybe was inspired by this, you know, going online thing, is basically what I did is I designed it to be, it's the retreat hero's journey experience, but through a counseling format. So basically, I'm taking them on that hero's journey. We're doing, I send them processes that I record similar to what we would have done at the retreat. So what they'll do is they'll go through processes. They'll be going through this whole hero's journey experience. They're talking to me every week. and it's like this epic.
They also do daily.
Yeah, they do voice daily voice memos and we text and we check in. Like they get like one-on-one access with me, and it's like this epic. I get to just be like super motivating and do my thing where I just get to shower them with love, and it totally lights me up. It's like my full-blown for sure calling and passion. I love working with people on that level and just being like, I get a big brother, you know, I get to just like in the loving way. I mean, like I get to just totally be the big brother who just is like, I freaking got you. I love you. We got this. And it's super, super fun.
A lot of people join the program, like they're going through big transitions, like a divorce, maybe, or like
getting married, divorces, changing jobs, recovering from addiction. You name it. It's like everything under the sun.
It's like, maybe they've been trying to go to regular therapy and it hasn't been successful, or they got put on medication and it wasn't working, and they're noticing negative
things. Or they
want to
get off medication. Yeah. They want to actually heal.
So they try to go this more holistic route, and, it's been an epic thing to witness, like epic. Matt do that with people. And
I'm trying to figure out how to create it as a more group experience so I can help more people, because right now it's so limited, and I feel so bad because the wait list just keeps growing, and I'm like, okay, this is like hurting my heart because I literally can't, I can only do so much. So we are in the process of trying to figure out a group experience so we can do more. It's almost like making the retreat digital, essentially, I would imagine is kind of what we're leaning towards, and allowing more people to be a part of it so that I don't have to, you know, it kills me that people like want help and I can't, you know, that part is hurting me. And I'm really looking forward to finding a solution to that part, but the program itself has been the most life-changing thing for me. I always say, like Ash and I have noticed, honestly, it makes me a better person because I'm having to listen to and be like, yo, Matt, are you doing the shit you're telling people? Yep. Because, you know, like you're helping people. So like, are you doing that? Or am I telling you like, hey, man, be really loving and considerate to your wife.
Make sure he always has a couple clients, because then he has to give them advice. And it's like, he has to listen to his own stuff. Yes. And I'm like, good.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, I'm like helping someone like love their wife and like be super and be like, all right, man, here's what it means to be a man. And then like, am I getting off the call and be like totally botching it and being like, babe, and like getting in a fight with Ash or something. Like, so it's been really good because it holds me accountable in a lot of ways, and it brings out the best in me too. So I really like, I need it, you know?
Yeah, dude. Absolutely.
Yes.
Go ahead, Brian. Were you saying something?
I was just going to say your top three, like relationship advice
tips. Oh,
like tips, top three. That was just like inspired to, you know, like what are your top three? Honesty. Like what are your top three go-tos?
Okay. I definitely got my number one. So the biggest one I've noticed is, and this is what we built our relationship off of, is number one is you have to have a commitment to inner work. You have to have a mutual commitment to self-reflection, or else the relationship will never survive long-term, because naturally you're going to grow, evolve, and change. And if your partner isn't willing, if neither of you are willing to keep that reflection going, someone will outgrow the other person. And so this is my biggest number one thing, because naturally over time, we all change. So if you're not continuing, if you don't have a habit of that, if you don't have a habit of self-reflection, if you don't have a habit of evolving yourself, questioning how you view things, like we were just saying about social media, like if you're not able to keep growing with your partner, this is why I see the biggest thing when I'm counseling couples, this is why they outgrow each other, because one person usually says, no, I'm good. I don't want to look at anything anymore. So that would be number one.
Or like, this is the way I am.
This is just the way I am. And stop trying to make a change. And it's like, no, dude, it's all fluctuated. It can all change. So that's number one. What would you say?
Yeah. And then I would say like number two is to really have a clear understanding of your value systems. Ooh, me and Matt are really like strong believers in continuously reevaluating our values. Like we actually had a really crazy experience like a couple months ago where we haven't really had this happen before, but we were starting to drift apart in our daily lives. And we realized that it had to do with what we were valuing as most important as priorities in our day-to-day life and not being on the same page or being aware of that.
It got triggered when we bought a house.
Yeah.
So when we bought a house, I slipped back into my upbringing, my conditioning. and I started living a totally different life. I started like working on the house every day and behaving every day, like totally different. And I started like taking all these responsibilities, and it changed me
like very seriously.
And it made me very different person, because I don't know, I leaned into my conditioning of this is what it means to own a house now. And it totally threw her off, because she's like, who the hell is this guy? Like, what are you working on the yard for like a whole 8 hours today? Every like, what day. Are you doing, dude? Like, and I'm like, this is what we do. And so this was a huge one we noticed, is my value system subconsciously accidentally totally shifted because this new life chapter happened. And I totally lost myself for a minute.
Yeah. And you know, we only have so much time in a day, and also so many things we could prioritize in our lives without spreading ourselves too thin. So it's really good to like have like a top five, like priority list, like, you know, family time, like personal self-care, like your spirituality, like self-development, your health. Like, what are those like main things that are at the top of your priority list? And are you and your partner on the same page? Because it's really difficult to co-create a life when those are majority totally opposite. Yeah. Or you didn't even know that those were their priorities. You know, what if one person's priorities are like socializing and going out and like being like, you know, seen like out, and yours is like, mine is like quality time and like,
you and know, like being tucked away in the house.
Yeah.
The fire.
And it's like, what? Yeah. I didn't even realize this about us. And no wonder we're having so many issues. So we really encourage people that we work with to get clear about their value systems and keep checking in with them. We hadn't checked in with them since we moved into the house. Yeah. And we just kind of like thought we were on the same page. And then 6 months later, we're like drifting apart. And it's like, what is this, drifting apart? And when he showed me his values list and I showed him mine, it was like, oh no, no shit. Like, you're creating a completely different life.
Different map.
Yeah. So you write them down and then compare, like you write down your values. And
yeah, kind of totally. Like literally compare. Just like think about it, meditate on it. Like, what are your top priorities? Like, is it your career? Is it your goals and like your dreams, aspirations? Is it, your yoga practice? What are those things that like are at the top of your list to, if you could create your dream life every day, family time, time with kids, like what is it? And then put that in that like sequential order of like number one to number five, and then compare with your partner, because that's going to help you guys co-create a daily life, day in and day out, starting with the most mundane that feels good and authentic for you both as a couple.
Something too, this provides an opportunity for is like another huge one we noticed is what things mean to you. So let's say like my values on my list was like home. Let's say it was home and family. Well, what we noticed is like having a home, we'll just use our real example.
Yeah. Yeah.
So home. So let's say having my home needs to be a sanctuary for me. I'm obsessed with it. It needs to basically be an Eden for me because it's my refuge from the world. All right. So that's my definition of what my home needs to feel like. But to her, maybe if I say, hey, what's home mean to you? She's like, it's just a place where I sleep. I it's my shelter, but not too much more than that. And so let's just say that's the difference. Well, suddenly me pouring in endless hours into perfecting and making it Eden. I my whole thing is landscaping, and I'm like addicted to plants. Like I'm obsessed with like planting trees all day. And so the problem with that though, is if my value system is totally out of whack and we keep saying, yeah, hey, I thought we were getting a home together. I thought we wanted to have a home. Well, this is just another caveat on this topic of, also, it gives you an opportunity to clarify, well, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, for me,
like,
having
what
a
does
home.
Your yoga practice mean? What does having a home mean? What is having, you know, whatever these value systems are, it also gives the opportunity to elaborate. Like when someone says my value is my career, and it's like, well, what does that mean to you?
Yeah. For me, like having a home, like it's totally beautiful. Like I want it to be decorated nice, but then I want to move on. Cause for me, it's a place for us to create, like write another book, like do stuff together in, not like serve the house. The house is a place for us to have a place to do our thing. And then Matt, it was like,
I'm trying to hunker in.
I'm just going to like serve the house. Like, I just want to keep remodeling it. I just want to like work on it. And I'm like, I just wanted to like have a nice house that we can like write another book and do the things that we do together. And it that was really interesting for us to realize that our goals with getting a house were completely different. And so now we've both had to compromise and be like, okay, like where can we meet in the middle with this?
And these things are totally subconscious. So like, I didn't know that. I didn't know I had a condition until it happened. I didn't even know like I was going to do that weird thing. Like I started looking at it too. I'm like, man, yeah. Like,
I didn't know I married a Home Depot guy. Like, what? Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to Home Depot every other day. Like,
loving plants. Like, I have to go to Plants Anonymous. You know, I see so many people getting addicted to plants lately during the pandemic, you know?
I believe in that, Brian. And I think that is a great idea. Plants Anonymous. We need to have a space for these plant addicts, yes, because it's legit.
We're starting it right now. Like, everybody like listening, like, Plants Anonymous just started on October 22nd. We're the founding
members.
Plants
taken over your life. Have they taken you away from your partner?
Is your partner constantly?
Is your life deteriorating and your health deteriorating? Because all you do is water your plants. Yeah.
And go buy new ones.
Yeah. You got to do a TikTok on that.
Are your finances in shambles because
you keep buying plants with your credit cards?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then so Matt walks in with all the plants.
It's so good.
Yeah. It's amazing.
No, I think
I'm
that was
learning so much.
Yeah, getting clear on definitions. Here's another one.
I
want to
do the non-negotiable, so that's a good
one. No, that was good though. Okay. That was good. It's like getting clear on definitions because, so like, let's just say we're talking about the house one. So this is number three. It's like, get clear on your definitions. Like, we've been doing this a lot in our conversations, even like, when you're having, if you're having a conversation that keeps coming back up, like you have the same fight over and over, guarantee from experience now, that it's probably because your definitions of the thing you keep fighting out about are completely different definitions.
Yeah.
So like, if you're like, you know, spending quality time is the thing you guys keep arguing about, one person's definition of what quality time is versus the other person is obviously not the same if this thing keeps coming back up. So it's like, literally the question is like, what does this mean to you?
Yeah.
Explain. And then you're like, oh yeah, my degree of that and version of that is completely different. No wonder we are not living in the same reality. Like,
yeah. Here's one of the most classic, to give a real life example for people, because I actually hear this one in counseling all the time too, is, and it's usually the guy and girl, like, it's a very classic example. So usually it's the woman who's like, I want to really spend more quality time together. And the guy's like, yeah, I spent all day with you. And she's like, no, what do you mean? And he's like, well, yeah, we were next to each other. I was with you all day.
Working together.
And she's like, no, we were on our phones. We were busy. We were working. He's like, well, yeah, but I was with you. I was with you all day. And so this is like one I always say too. I'm like, babe, I worked with you all day. What do you mean? I was with you all day. And she's like, yeah, but we were working and we were doing other things. And I'm like, dude, that was quality time for me, in my opinion. And so this is a really, really common one. So we had to get clear on this because I was like, babe, I literally am with you all day, every day. Like, literally, her and I, we are literally with each other 24/7.
So how could you possibly
complain about quality time? So sure enough, what we got clear on the definition was, she was like, no, quality time is when literally there's like no other goal other than to be together. And there's no other distraction. There's no other goal. And I said, oh yeah, no, I haven't really given you much of that. Because every time we're together, we're usually doing something.
Checking Bitcoin and Dogecoin is not quality.
Me on my crypto is
refresh. Is it going up?
That's so good. Those, Brian, that was an amazing question, and the perfect couple to answer that question.
It was a selfish question. Like, during the pandemic, I went through divorce number two. So I'm just like, I'm on my journey of like learning masculine, feminine energy. I'm like counseling, therapy, self-help groups, all that stuff. That's why I love like your honesty, just about so many like your addictions that you share with, because like, yeah, I struggle from the same things. And I'm just like, been like, okay, you know, after divorce number two, I'm like, okay, this is me. You know, after my first one, I was like, okay, it was her. Like, I'm moving on. I'm doing yoga. But like after the second one, and it was like during the pandemic, so we're just like together the whole time. And it wasn't like, I didn't have like those top three things that you said, like, especially the same, like what you said about quality time. I'm like, I've been here the whole day with you. Like, you know, like how is, you know, like 24/7, but it's true. Like, she did say that, you know, it's like, well, 100%, like not checking your Bitcoin or checking your Instagram nonstop. It's like those likes will still be there later. You know, so I really love those top three questions, answers. Like, yes,
super good and really valuable. Yeah, really valuable. I'm learning right now. You know what I mean? Like, I feel as if my wife and I have a great marriage, but she really likes quality time, And my definition is skewed on what quality time is, but I'm knowing this. So this is just a reaffirmation from the universe. Like, hey, actual quality time, like, hello.
Yeah. So, yeah. I love that. It's like such good communication too. And like with your relationship, are you like 100% just like, I mean, like honesty is very important, but like in terms of like secrets or whatever, like, are you just like 100% like, this is how I feel right now? Or is it, you know, you got to write it out a little bit.
Dude, let me just say, no, let me say this. I wish there was more secrets, because some
she actually tells me to hold back. I tell Matt,
I'm like, you did not need to tell me that that's what you were thinking. Like, please, like, you can filter yourself sometimes. Like, truly, truly, that would be nice once in a while.
So the point, awesome. The answer to that is it's relative. The answer is relative. Rough. It depends on the person, because for some of us, like myself, we need to actually learn containment and how to filter.
Matt tells me literally everything he thinks, even if it's like, I mean, like literally, like, I don't know what this is, but like,
even if it's like bizarre, yeah. Like, I want to drive us off the cliff right now. I'm no, so over this.
No, no, let's
I'm
do
so, it. I'm no, so aggressive inside. No, the Hulk is raging in my head.
No, a real one, like back in the day. So like, we're pretty open and honest about this. Right. So it's like, we all know, like, Matt had been using porn for like 14 years.
Oh yeah. These are more realistic.
You know, like, we're working through that as the couple and stuff, and open communication. Right. So it'd be like, I'm really struggling, 'cause there's a girl over there who's like really sexy, and like, my mind wants to look at her. And it's like so honest to the point where I'm like, you don't have to tell me that. Like, it's okay.
I didn't need
okay,
to
you
know.
Can just work through that on your own.
Yeah. That could go to the journal. Like, go on the journal.
Yeah, burn it off in the fire. Oh man.
Yeah.
It's like a good thing, but it's also like it's hard at times.
I've said some pretty ridiculous things at times.
On my birthday, last birthday, I was like, Matt, please, for the love of God, on my birthday, can you just not say anything inappropriate? Like, that was what I asked him for my birthday. I was like, can you just only like say nice things to me, like on purpose for my birthday? That's all I want. We get out of the car, we're going to like brunch, and he's like, oh my gosh, come here. And I'm like, what? He's like, you have a giant zit right on your forehead. And I'm like, babe, like, shut the fuck up. Just say I look beautiful on my birthday.
And then I just sat there and I was like, damn.
That was it. He's like, that was it, wasn't it? That was it right there. Like, that was the thing. That was it. And I'm like, yeah, that was it.
I was like, wow, babe, I'm an idiot. I'm just an idiot. I'm losing it.
Cancel him. So cancel Matt. Just cancel him.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a great question. So as you can tell,
we're
it's relative.
On the opposite, but
now on the flip side though, I do know tons of people I work with where they say nothing, right? They just look at each other all pissed off and there's no communication. So
yeah,
it's definitely a balance. It's definitely a balance. I would always say here's maybe a hard fast rule on it is share as openly and as much as you possibly can, while also having accountability of, is this going to cause more hurt? Is the person like emotionally ready to hear this? My best thing to do when, like, what I'll counsel people to do is I'll say the safest way to go about it is to create a buy-in. So first is get their permission and be like, hey, I have some like stuff coming up about our relationship. Is now a good time, or do you want to talk about this later? This gives them a chance to get a buy-in so that they can be emotionally in the right headspace for it. And then once you get that buy-in, you set aside the time to talk about whatever's coming up. Then it's to clarify the intention and say, hey, you know, my intention here is to just resolve this. I love you. I actually want to get back on the same page. I don't want to complain. I don't want to cause a rift. I actually want to get through this and figure out if this is true or not. And then go ahead and communicate, and then using a lot of I language, you know, like, for example, yeah. I am triggered and I am feeling insecure. I am having an addiction craving, like those types of things, rather than like, you're triggering me, you're pissing me off, you're making me want to go drink. Whatever it is, own it. And then from there, try to work through it. But I would say, yeah, the funny thing, like for me though, on the flip side, for people who overshare, because I do have clients every once in a while who are overshares and they actually hurt their partner with it. So I would say the simplest thing I've learned is if you sharing something is going to like really hurt them, where you could have still accomplished the same goal of being honest without that, then check that. Mm-hmm. And that's your cue to be like, maybe I'm excessive throat chakra. Like, maybe I'd say too much.
Yeah.
because that is a thing, like clearly me over here sharing like ridiculous details and being such a knucklehead about it. Like, oh wow, that was not necessary. Like, but my like intensely honest self has to be like, no, I need to be say everything that comes to my mind and being totally clear. It's like, no, dude, no, you need to chill out.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I like that answer. I like that so answer good. Because, you know, I listened to this audio book. It's called Radical Honesty. And it was just all about like being as honest as you can with your partner, like saying every single thing. But then it's like, okay, I'm a yogi and the yamas and like non-harming first and then truth second. So just like what you said, Matt, that was like exactly what it is. It's like, how is this going to harm them? Like, do I really need to say this? And it's just like a dance. It's a balance. I feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in the reverse, like, is withholding this going to cause harm? So like, right. that's the great question to ask is like, is sharing this going to cause harm? Is withholding this going to cause harm? Cause on the same note, like we can also convince ourselves, like that's the excuse of why we didn't share something really important. Right. Like I cheated on you. It's like, well, not sharing that. It's like, that would have hurt you if I would, you know what I'm saying? So, it's that total dance, like back and forth, like, and I love this. One of my teachers said this and I just carried it with me for forever because I would always want that, like, just tell me exactly what to do. Give me a right and a wrong, clear, you know, is this right? What's right? What's wrong? And she would always just say, it depends. Like everything is situational. And the answer is always, it depends. And I just carried that with me forever because every situation's a new, it depends.
It is. And Brian and I just recorded an episode recently. I'm not when this is going to air, but it was talking about a story from and it was just like, maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. It just depends on the situation, how someone's perception of it is. And so that's just a nice, I liked how you phrased that, Ash. That was really, really, really good. One more question before we let you all run off for the rest of your day. So you keep talking about this new book. So like, what's the deal? Like, is it happening? Like, it's obviously happening. Can you give us like a little insider scoop on like what's up?
Yeah, for sure. So we're actually writing a follow-up to the Inner Work. So the Inner Work book is like a how to do your inner work manual. It's like self-awareness, self-reflection, like getting clear about what triggers you and what's underneath that and healing, you know, unresolved trauma.
And it's like the map and compass for sure. So it's the map and compass. So now we're going to follow it up with the second one, which is going to be another useful tool. I'll let you keep going.
Yeah. So it's a ritual book. So it's actual rituals and practices that you can do. So in our first book, The Inner Work, we use the map of consciousness. So there's like, you know, shame, like the wound of rejection and guilt, the wound of judgment. And it's like understanding that a lot of our thoughts, behaviors, and actions are really rooted in these deep rooted wounds that we inherited from our childhood, our conditioning, our past experiences. And that awareness building that happens in the Inner Work book is awesome because now we're self-aware in the moment of like, wow, this is a trigger for me. And this is why, or this is why I behave that way. Or I have this coping mechanism, you know. Now in the second book, it's like, okay, now what do you do with that awareness? Like practical, like equal parts practice, right? And equal parts effort, and put in the actual work day in and day out to actually self-heal. So it's a self-healing ritual book. So let's say you did find out, like, I totally have this wound of abandonment. I know I have this wound of abandonment. I'm looking at it every day. I see it come out in my relationships. I'm really conscious of that. And I'm trying to choose different thoughts and different words and behave differently, but like, it's still there, you know? And in the yoga tradition, like the amazing thing about that is that we can start to heal ourselves, like on all the different planes, like all the different koshas, like body kosha, like energy body, like mind body, you know, spirit body. And so these programs, they're rooted like way deep in our consciousness. So they're like in the spiritual body or the emotional body, but on the inner work level, we're having that superficial awareness. So the rituals are going to help get into those more subtle layers through Kundalini Kriyas, breath works, inner work processes, guided meditations, literal rituals and ceremonies so that you can kind of have like that hypnotic experience of reenacting a trauma moment, like they do in somatic therapy, where your body gets to re-go through something. So you can like kind of convince yourself that you went back in time and healed it. So these rituals are going to be, you found out you had this wound. Now here's a daily practice. Do this until you feel the shift. And they're really geared toward a specific wound.
Ooh, wow. Number one seller already. Just put it on the list.
Woohoo.
Let's go. Yes. Let's go.
Yeah, people need this. People need it.
Yeah.
They absolutely do.
Yeah, absolutely. Love
it. Yeah, thank you. Really excited about it. It's going to be called the Inner Work Rituals. So if you're excited about it as a listener, make sure to read the first book, The Inner Work.
Yeah, we'll link it in the
description. Invitation to True Freedom.
Yeah, add to cart, yeah. Everybody. Right now, add to cart. You need something to come through on Amazon in a couple of days. I know you're all addicted to Amazon. Add to cart. Book will come tomorrow.
Oh, so
exactly.
Well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you
for coming back onto the Yogi Show season 2. It's been an amazing conversation and a lot of learning for me. I know the listeners are going to get a lot out of this. I know Brian got a lot out of this. So thank you for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge and your time with us and in the community that's here for the Yogi Show. And thank you. We're looking forward to all the things that you all create and for the things that are coming your way. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Namaste.
Absolutely.
Namaste.